As we relive our holidays, we draw you to the our haunted haze.
Hey, welcome back to Haunted Haze. I'm Josh.
I'm Kristen.
And this is episode 12.
Yes, I'm so excited. I've done a lot of research for today's episode, and I'm ready to get into it.
Kind of a dark, twisted
It is kind of dark. You know, it kind of deals with child abductions and stuff. Yeah, so.
Baby snatcher.
Yeah, for sure. This is the Memphis baby snatcher.
Yeah, she goes by the name Georgia Tan.
Yes.
You might not have heard about her.
Yeah, but in just... We're going to get into some other stuff quick, but a little preview is that basically she ran an orphanage and adoption mill in Memphis from 1924 until her death in 1950.
Wow.
More than 5,000 children were sold or adopted by Tan.
Wow.
And another 500 died while in her care at the Tennessee Children's Home Society.
Wow, 500 kids, that's awful.
I know, it's like... That's a huge operation.
Oh, yeah. For a long time.
Yeah.
It seems.
But before we get into it, I do want to tell everybody Christmas and all the holidays are, like, right around the corner.
Yes. Time to shop. Yes.
So check out Hippie Haze
on
Etsy.
Check out Hippie Haze. It's our arts and gifts.
Yeah, we have stash boxes, tie-dyes.
Yeah, we have all kind of cool, unique items that maybe you wouldn't normally buy for someone for a Christmas present. So why not this year, right? 2020 is the year of the weird.
For sure.
Buy them something weird from Hippie Haze.
Yeah. And if you have something like you think that can be made, hit us up. Like maybe we can create it, like a painting or something.
Right, yeah. Also, hit up our friends at Griffith Roasting Company.
Yes, our good friends, Ben and Jen Griffith, they make awesome coffee.
Yep. You can find them at
Griffith Roasting Company on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, so check us out. Check them out.
Yeah, for sure.
Please, so if you're looking for a gift, be sure to check us out.
Also, what better a year to, like, shop small? You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Small businesses definitely.
They are hurting right now.
Definitely consider that. Even if you don't consider us, consider small businesses.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so you ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's talk about this crazy lady.
Okay. All right, so Georgia Tan, born Beulah George Tan, was born July 18th, 1891.
Okay.
So she was born in Philadelphia, Mississippi. And she was the first child of George Tan and Beulah Yates.
Okay.
Her mom was a teacher, and at that time, it was actually really uncommon for women to work outside the household.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
So, you know, basically, women are like nurses and teachers or stay-at-home moms.
Right.
You know, there wasn't that many women working.
She just so happened to be one that did teacher's job.
Okay. Yeah, so that's... So, but her dad also was a very powerful judge in Mississippi.
Okay.
And he reportedly had a really domineering personality, and he was best known to bring home abandoned and neglected children. And he would
randomly?
Yeah. So he would, like, remark that he would need a minister, a school teacher, or a doctor to figure out what to do with the kids.
Okay.
Like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, really.
Like, I don't know if
he... How did he find these kids?
I have no backstory on that, so I'm not really sure. But also, it was really well known that Mr. Tan dreamt that Georgia would become a concert pianist. And at 5 years old, he put her in piano lessons.
Oh, wow. So he was, like, living vicariously through her, maybe.
Yeah, is. Yeah, so she actually continued to play piano well into adulthood. But it was well known that she actually despised it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, usually, like, as a child, if you're forced to do anything...
Yeah, you don't love it.
Kids that grow up, like, you know, playing baseball, if you're forced to do it, you're going to hate it.
Yeah, for sure. You have to have, like, a love for it to become a concert pianist.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, especially some type of musician, you definitely have to have a love for it.
For sure.
I know that firsthand, right?
Yeah. In 1913, she graduated from Martha Washington College with a degree in music.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, so even though she had a degree, she's been playing, she's an adult now, she still hates it, and she actually wants to follow in her father's footsteps and become a lawyer.
Okay, so she really is interested in what her father's doing. It seems like he has a major influence on her.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, yes, for sure. We'll definitely get more into that. So, she wanted to follow in her father's footsteps and become a lawyer.
Okay.
And she took social work courses at Columbia University for 2 summers. And with her father's help and guidance, she was able to pass the Mississippi bar exam.
Hmm, that seems a little fishy. Help and guidance.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was really unusual for women to practice law at the time, so her father ended up forbidding her to even practice. And he was
pushed her to go through with it?
Well, I don't even know if he pushed her, but, like, how are you going to help her get her bar?
Yeah, and then
no, you can't practice law, actually.
Maybe he was doing it as, like, woman. Yeah, what an asshole. Maybe he was doing it as, like, he just didn't think that she would pass it or something.
Yeah, maybe so. So it was, like, also known that at this time, Tan really didn't have any desire to be, like, a wife or a mother. She wanted to work.
Okay.
You know, so the only thing...
She was very career-oriented.
Yes. And the only thing that she could really think of that was socially acceptable for an unmarried woman was to be a social worker.
Okay. Not a teacher like her mother?
No, not a teacher. I guess, you know, who knows what her and her mom's relationship was like. She seems to be real involved with her dad, though.
Yeah, very more in touch with her dad.
So, Georgia became a social worker in Mississippi, where she's lived, and she was quickly fired from her job for inappropriately removing children from impoverished homes without any cause.
Oh, wow.
Red flag.
Yeah. So she would just make things up? Like, why would she move these children, though?
Who knows? But they fired her for it.
Right. Seems like she already was scheming.
Yeah, for sure. She definitely had some kind of plan doing
all that.
Seems
like she's power hungry, too.
So, in 1922, Tan had moved to Memphis, Tennessee at this point.
Okay.
She used her dad's political power to secure a new job as the executive secretary at the Memphis branch of the Tennessee Children's Home.
Okay.
All right, so...
So, her dad helped her get that job also?
Yes. So, now, at this point in 1922, she's the executive secretary... But also, earlier in 1922, she had actually been in Texas. And this is where it said that she adopted her daughter, June.
Okay, so she just was in Texas for a little while.
Yeah,
and child, like... sounds like.
Yeah, and like maybe she found
the one. Found
one she
could steal, yeah.
Like, or...
Oh, I got her.
Like, okay, this one's the one I'm keeping. But also a little side note here is that that's not the only time she adopted a child.
Oh, wow.
In 1943, she adopted Anne Atwood Hollingsworth, a grown woman. And this is believed to be Georgia's longtime same-sex partner. And at the time... Yeah, so
that
at the time,
sense.
It was really common for same-sex couples to use adoption as a means of transferring property and inheritances to each other.
Yeah, it's because they couldn't get married, so...
Yeah, so that's how they would do it. So, she adopted her girlfriend, but also she did have a daughter... adoption.
That's interesting.
So, that was in 1922. Now it's 1929.
Okay, so 7 years later.
At this point, Tan had staged a takeover and named herself the executive director of the Tennessee Children's Home Society.
Oh, head bitch in charge, huh? Yeah, she's... I'm gonna run this now. No one opposed it?
It kind of sounds like she would have been a good attorney.
Oh, yeah, she's very...
Like, if she would have... Followed through with that.
Yeah. Well, she definitely seemed like a very strong-willed,
she somehow got her way.
Woman, though.
Oh, you know for sure. Like, she had to have been smart.
Yeah, like...
I mean, I'm not saying she's, like, a good person, but she had to have been kind of intelligent.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, intelligence and good definitely doesn't go together, so...
So, at this point, when she began to be the executive director, this is when she began her scheme, where she would kidnap... and adopt out the stolen children for a profit.
Oh, so she was, like, flipping these babies.
All right, so before we get into that, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the history of adoption at that point, like, in the early 1900s.
Okay, so a little backstory.
Yeah. So in the early 1900s and 1910s, formalized adoptions were very rare. But then in the 1920s, adoptions began to be marketed as a shortcut to societal improvement.
Really?
One ad claimed that adopting would reduce divorces, banditry, and murder. It would control births, fill all the churches, and do real missionary work at home and abroad. Exchanging immigrants for Americans by stopping some of the road leading to war.
Well, okay, some of that I can kind of picture. And some of that sounds crazy.
Yeah, like, it's weird to me that they're marketing adoption.
Yeah, like, hey, don't have kids. But, which is a great thing, too, also. But it just seems like their motives behind... Like,
yeah, it's not...
It'll fill the churches!
Yeah.
There'll be more churches!
Don't adopt it because a child in need would love to be... You know, you could love and raise that child as your own.
Oh, no, yeah. Adoption is a great thing, and it's amazing that people can do it. From what I've experienced from knowing other people that have adopted, it seems kind of like a pain in the ass to do, though.
Oh, it's a... It's a long journey.
Yeah, it's a lot of steps and a long process. So, that's weird that she could just kidnap these babies. Like, how long does that take, I wonder?
Oh, well, okay. But at this time, it was not like that. So, also, in the early 1900s, the theory of eugenics was wildly popular.
Oh, well, that's like Nazi.
So, basically, this is the practice or advocacy of improving the human species by selectively mating people with specific desirable hereditary traits. It aims to reduce human suffering by breeding out disease, disability, and so-called undesirable traits from the human population.
That's so crazy, too, because eugenics is a weird thing, because... Isn't it like everybody kind of has good something, you know what I mean? Like black, white,
we all have
like something that we're, you know.
Like that, yeah, like everybody has that one, like.
Yeah.
We all have something we're better at than somebody else.
So why like make it like singular? You know what I mean? It's, I don't know.
It's crazy.
That's a crazy thing.
It is crazy. But because of this. This meant that Georgia Tan could make a lot of money off babies with blonde hair and blue eyes.
Oh, wow.
So, basically, also during this time...
I wonder what made that popular, though, like a blonde hair, blue eye baby.
I don't know. Hitler just got that idea, I guess.
Oh, God.
I don't know. But also around the same time is when baby formula became... popular and like widely available.
Wow, that's interesting.
So all of a sudden, nursing mothers had the option to adopt a baby.
Oh, right.
And that's hard to even think. I know when I read that, I was like, I never even thought that people wouldn't be able to feed the babies.
Well, that's why they used to have wet nurses.
Yeah.
That was exactly why they would have wet nurses, because some women couldn't
produce milk or whatever.
If they wanted to.
Yeah. And so, after the formula became available, the demand for adoptable infants rose dramatically.
I gotta wonder, though, what was the quality of water?
What does that have to do with
it? I guess they're in Memphis, so we have good water here.
Right? If you've ever met someone from Memphis...
They're gonna tell you about how good the water is. Man, the water is good. That might be the only thing that's good.
Look, where y'all live, you might not be able to just drink the water out of the faucet.
Yeah, that's terrible.
In Memphis, you can. It's good water. Anyway.
Anyway, so hopefully they had good water for the formula, right?
Yeah. So that's what you're thinking of. That's why you're thinking of that.
Yeah, mixing the formula with...
good Memphis water.
Yeah.
Yeah, the strong babies.
Yeah, strong babies.
Anyway, basically, this all just was a perfect storm for Tan to take advantage of the lack of regulation around adoptions and the desperate need of would-be parents.
So there's a lot of people...
who wanted babies and not a lot of regulation around adoption.
Right.
There's just not a lot of record keeping.
So that's weird, too. So it really just came down to the highest bidder, I'm assuming, which is weird because... what's everyone's intentions, you know, like, with these kids?
I think some people are, like, just want a baby that bad.
Yeah, but you gotta think, too, other people want some type of weird...
oh, well, that's...
child slave, yes, or something.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know, I'm just thinking the worst. I'm sorry.
Tan's favorite scheme was to drive around in impoverished neighborhoods and pick out the prettiest children. She would offer the kids a ride in a shiny black luxury car, and the kids would often never be seen again.
What a ugly kid comes up to her like, get your ass
she
back.
She wasn't interested in them, I don't think.
Get your ass away from me.
So also in, for more than 20 years, Tan would kidnap and abuse these children and sell them to wealthy adoptive parents at a steep profit.
Wow.
And it wasn't a small side hustle. For over 20 years, she made more than $11 million in today's money.
Oh my God.
And she didn't do it alone.
How did these people, did they just not have, like, did the police not search for missing children, or did no one report their kid went missing? You know, like, what?
I mean, I don't know how, why, you can't just call 911 in 1924.
Yeah,
no,
but how,
when did phones come out?
Man, we're dumb. When did phones come out?
Okay, anyway, so Tan's extensive trafficking operation required connections. She linked with E.H. Boss Crump, who was a powerful Tennessee political machine.
He's Crump, very prevalent in Memphis, yeah.
Yeah. Crump offered Tan protection in exchange for kickbacks.
What are kickbacks?
Kickbacks are like...
Well, I know what they are, but I'm saying, I mean, what were they, though? You know, were the kickbacks?
Cash.
Just cash, though?
I think so.
I don't know.
But also, can the city of Memphis, do y'all know about this? Because we have a street named after him.
Yeah, right?
Like a prominent street.
Yeah.
We can rename that now.
Yeah, let's maybe get rid of this guy.
Tan also paid off a network of social workers, police officers, doctors, and lawyers. She would have spotters who would alert her if they saw children on the riverbanks and or maybe even walking home from school.
Damn, just hit her up like, hey, I got one.
Yeah.
That's crazy as hell.
Yeah. She would drive up in this fancy car and offer the kid a ride and just take him away.
Why is this not more talked about in Memphis? Like, I've lived here my whole life. I've never really even heard of this lady.
Nobody really has.
That's so
like the craziest thing.
It's like they just swept it under the rug. Let's not talk about it.
Let's not talk about this crazy lady who kidnapped 5,000 kids.
All right. Onward.
She had people that would also help her kidnap kids. They would kidnap them from preschools, churches, playgrounds. Some people that were helping her would even be the cops.
Oh, my God. What fucking sick.
So, you have to think of it this way. A cop kidnapping a child... A child is just going to go with the cop.
Right.
They
yeah,
would
sure.
go so willingly. They don't even have to really try.
I wonder how these people justify that. Like, they think they're like, oh, we're going to give them to a better family. They'll be happier. And
yeah, so...
Yada, yada, yada.
So basically, she targeted poor families, and I'm going to get more into that. Tan and her co-conspirators preyed more on children who came from poor families and couldn't fight back.
Wow.
So Tan would also target these families by offering them help. She would tell the parents that she could take the child to the doctor and that it would be at no charge to the parent. They would never get a bill. But if the parent wanted to come with the kid, for instance, she would be like, oh no, if you come with me, they'll charge you.
How the fuck do you sleep at night?
And then... Also, in those parents, they're like, oh my gosh, yes, thank you for the help. Please take my child to the doctor.
Man. Yeah.
Like,
please help my baby.
You can't even take your kid to the doctor.
Using people's weaknesses.
Like, and also, like, these people were very poor, and I read that sometimes these kids had never seen a car before.
Wow.
So she would pull up in this shiny, luxury black car.
And this is like 1929, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, in the 1920s, 1930s, at this point, it's probably been a couple years.
Okay.
So, people also in the welfare department would alert this judge, Judge Kelly, whenever people would apply for assistance. And Judge Kelly would get their information and send a deputy out to pick up the child and then award custody to Tan.
Wow.
Judge Camille Kelly worked in Shelby County for over 30 years.
Oh, my God. How the hell... Why do these people do this? Like, what are they getting out of it? You know what I mean? Like, I guess they're just keeping their position?
I think that they're just making money. She's all Memphis these people has are always getting had paid. Corrupt
like politician and
leaders. Oh, this is That's like
why Memphis is the way it is.
Yes, and this is like facts. So
facts.
So basically, like, this is how she would make money off this.
Big facts.
Tennessee law required $7 to adopt a child.
What? Seven? Well,
that in today's money, it's about $75.
Wow, still really? So
that's not that much.
Like a puppy. It's not a puppy. It's a human. It's a baby.
When Tan would move these children, it was like she was like moving merchandise. She would charge over $1,000. State was charging $7, and she was charging $1,000.
Yeah, but I'm sure these people were. They were getting select. You know what I'm saying? They were getting more of what they wanted. You know what I'm saying? Like, instead of
going through the legal way through the state or whatever.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there was some reason that they would go through her as opposed to paying the $75 or whatever. Or
Tan would pocket 90% of the fee that she charged, as well as overcharge the parents on everything from travel costs to home visits to attorney fees. So, like, if she was charging $1,000, in today's money, that's like around $10,000.
Wow. So, basically, she was keeping 900 of it. What would she do with the other 100?
9,000. 9,000.
No, if she was getting $1,000, she was keeping 900.
Oh, she was keeping 900, you're right.
But, so, what was she doing with the other 100? Like, actually paying, like, some kind of
adoption
fee?
Like, yeah, she was probably doing, like, the right thing. Like, paying the $75 that you have to pay.
Yeah, like, doing the... Wow.
Because that's probably all that was required.
Right. And some paperwork.
Yeah.
And she had just, like, free leisure. Like, she was just stamping her name on whatever.
And she would do things to make it harder to track. So, she would make up...
Were they also, like, adopting out other children, too, that she wasn't selling? Like,
kids that actually, like, were at the children's home?
Yeah.
I'm sure that there was probably some, like, legit kids there. Like,
older kids?
I don't know. Tan...
I wish she was a real bitch to him, too.
Oh, yes. Tan would make up these backstories about the kids that would make them sound more appealing to prospective parents. She would, like, say that the child comes from attractive young mothers and fathers who were in medical school.
Yeah, totally people that would give their babies up for adoption.
Yeah.
What?
She would even, like, change the child's age to make them younger, because that's more appealing.
Okay, so they'd be like 4, and she tell them they're 1 or 2?
Well, I don't think you get away with that, but maybe 3.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, you could totally like...
Well, these kids were also like malnourished. They probably were little. But it was known that she would change all these things because it also did make it harder to track.
Wow.
She would also capitalize on opportunities like the fact that very few adoption agencies would adopt to Jewish families. Ooh. She saw a chance to make some money here, and she would flat out lie and say that this Southern Baptist child was born Jewish.
Wow, this lady has no qualms with lying.
She has no like conscience at all.
Yeah.
If a biological or adoptive parent would ask too many questions about it, Tan would threaten to have them arrested or have the child removed from their custody.
Wow. This lady's on a fucking power trip.
She was known to repossess kids who were whose parents were unable to make their payment on time.
What?
She was making payment plans?
Payment plans on kids that you adopted out?
And then trying to repossess them?
Damn.
She was making bank.
This bitch is crazy.
She was also not above blackmailing the families for more money later down the road.
Oh, well, I'm not surprised.
She would tell the adoptive parents that the biological family was coming around asking for the baby's return. But for a hefty fee, she had lawyers that could make the situation go away.
Oh, my God, these poor people, man.
I know. Because many families were only interested in babies, she focused more on kidnapping infants. Tan targeted homes for unwed mothers, welfare hospitals, and even prisons. Doctors who worked with Tan
told... Well, what were those babies going anyway, though? Are they getting adopted with, anyway?
If they're an unwed mother, maybe they can keep the baby. There's
I got you.
I think that could happen. Welfare hospitals, maybe they're just poor.
I wonder what they would... I guess they would say, like, the baby was stillborn or, like, it died or something.
Yeah, but so they would tell the parents that the baby died during birth and that it would be buried at no cost to the family.
And they convince them to never see the baby again.
Yeah, I guess they convince them not to see that. Yeah.
Man, that's fucked up.
Also, what's weird, so it says that doctors worked with her. So, our friend Amy, who wrote into the show, she was on Kids Say.
Okay, yeah, your friend Amy.
Yes, she, her grandfather, we were looking it up online one day. We were kind of interested. And we found where her grandfather's birth certificate was signed by a doctor who was known to work with Georgia Tan.
Oh, and he was adopted.
It's a fact he was adopted.
So he totally could have been one of Georgia Tan's kidnapped children?
For sure.
That's crazy.
I mean, maybe not, but it kind of
seems like it all was going down.
Like, he was adopted. His birth certificate was signed by a doctor known to work with her.
Damn.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
It is so crazy.
And that's like, I mean, and then we don't talk about that in Memphis.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Other mothers were coerced into signing their children away while they were still heavily sedated after childbirth.
Wow. Like, all right, we're going to take your baby now. Is that okay? And she's like, yeah, please, just take care of it. All right, well, we're going out the door now.
Like, I remember my grandma telling me one time that she was completely asleep for her childbirth.
Wow, that's pretty... They probably...
And that was...
OD'd her. was this 1929? What was it?
That was actually when she was born, so...
Oh, yeah, my bad. Oh, yeah, she was birthing people.
Yeah. By the 1930s, as a direct result of Tan scam, Memphis had the highest infant mortality rate in the United States.
Wow. As a direct result because it was... Wow.
Yeah. Memphis had the highest infant mortality rate.
But they were really dying. Some of those babies
were dead. Yes. Yeah, they were just being stolen. There was also many reports of abuse and neglect among the children that were at the home society.
So sad.
Experts later found that on many occasions, babies had been taken away from their mother within hours of birth, taken to nursing homes in Memphis where they went without any medical care.
Oh my God.
I think a nursing home at that time was like a place with wet nurses.
Right.
Over, like I said earlier, over 500 kids died while under her care.
That's so sad.
Many children died as a direct result of violations of doctor orders. Even in 1945, a dysentery outbreak swept through the orphanage, and somewhere between 40 and 50 children died in about 4 months.
Oh my God.
Some reports say that babies were kept in sweltering conditions.
So this was just like a... This building was just like a... Not well taken care of.
And it gets hot in Memphis.
Yes, it does.
Like, you can't really... People die because they don't have air conditioners in their house, and they get too hot in their house and die in the summer here.
Yeah, that's true.
And so you're... And you have babies. Humid. Yes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Man, so... Some reports say some children were drugged to keep them quiet, and others were hung in dark closets, beaten, and put on starvation rations for weeks at a time.
Oh, my God.
Drug addicts and pedophiles were hired to watch over the children.
Oh, my God. Like, they, like, asked...
Are you a drug addict or a pedophile?
Are you a drug addict or a pedophile?
I'm both.
Great.
You're hard.
You're in Ward C with the 3-year-olds. All right.
That's fucked up.
That is so fucked up. What?
Sexual abuse was so common at the house, and one adoptee said that every single boy in the orphanage was molested.
Oh my God, dude.
Former home society employees revealed that if an infant was deemed too weak, it may just be left in the sun to die.
Just bake the baby. What the fuck?
If a child had a congenital disease or was considered too ugly or too old, Tan would have people get rid of them.
Wait a minute. If too old?
Yeah, like if they got too old, like, to adopt.
Damn. Or too ugly? That's even worse. How do you judge that?
Yeah, you can't tell at that age.
Come here, Steven. I gotta tell you. You're gonna bake out here with this baby. What the fuck is wrong with these people? Everyone's just, well, you know, they're doing good work.
That's messed up.
I didn't do it.
Many say that there was several children buried on the property of the home, and about 20 children were buried in an unmarked cemetery, an unmarked plot at the Elmwood Cemetery.
Oh, wow. Which is a large...
It's a very historical cemetery in Memphis.
Yeah. Very beautiful, too.
Yeah, it is. Dying children did not stop Tan, though, from her trafficking scheme.
Why?
Of course, why would it?
Yeah, right? Who's going to stop her?
She has no conscience.
Well, then it doesn't seem like everybody's just turning a blind eye.
Tan would tour the country lecturing on adoption. She told people such as Eleanor Roosevelt and President Harry Truman that adopted children turned out better because of the selective process in which poor children could be remade into a higher type.
That's crazy that she was able to get the president's ear.
Yeah, and that also kind of goes back to eugenics.
Yeah, this crazy lady's dad must have really screwed her up.
For sure. Who knows the kind of trauma that she had?
A relationship they weird one.
Yeah, for sure. It's something weird. Over the years, she became more and more audacious with this scheme. She even at one point had a baby catalog to help parents choose the perfect child at an ever-growing price tag.
Wow. Select your baby now. Oh my God, dude.
Yeah, like, that's the crazy thing, too. Like, you have a book.
Yeah.
Man. And you know she was writing.
It's like a Sears catalog?
Beautiful blonde mother.
Yeah, right.
Strong dad.
Strong dad. He's a lumberjack and used to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. Who knows? Why not make up something crazy like that? So, she did this for 20 years.
Wow. That's such a long time.
It's insane. But in 1949, Tennessee elected a new governor, Gordon Browning.
Okay.
So Browning caught wind of what was going on, and he finally launches an investigation.
He ain't playing no shit.
No.
Yeah.
He's like, what the hell's happening over there?
Yeah, they said, what?
So on September 12th, 1950... Governor Browning holds a press conference. He reveals in the press conference that Tan and her network managed to amass more than $1 million in a child selling scheme.
Wow.
That's about $11 million in today's money.
$11 million.
That's so crazy that she made that much money.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
So, mysteriously, 3 days after Governor Browning held this press conference, Tan dies after slipping into a mysterious coma from untreated uterine cancer.
Oh, wow.
Like, of course she did.
Yeah.
This bitch needs to... Justice needs to be served.
Yeah, she got the easy way out. What the hell? That's such an unsatisfying ending to her story.
Yeah. It took several months for the remainder of the kids that were still at the Tennessee home to be placed in other, in legitimate homes.
Oh, so they took them away from the...
They
still tried to work with some of the parents, like, you know what I mean?
Like, maybe tried to find their real homes.
Yeah. That's so crazy and sad.
Shortly after all this, Judge Kelly resigned from her job.
Yeah, right? She should have.
Yeah.
She should have been arrested.
For real.
Everyone involved in this should have been arrested.
No one was ever prosecuted for any of the roles in this ring. They just
swept us all under the rug.
Yeah. To protect everyone involved, Robert Taylor, a new Tennessee legislator, sealed all adoption records.
Wow.
Adoptees of the Home Society needed to have a court order in order to get their birth records.
Wow. It seems like it was such a big ordeal that they thought the best thing they could do is just...
sweep it under the
rug. Just kind of like...
like, there is way too many people involved in this.
Yeah. Wow.
While no one knows where many of Tan's victims are buried, Many adoptees and their families take comfort in a small memorial in Memphis's Elmwood Cemetery that was erected in 2015.
Damn,
that's... Also have a picture of it. I'm going to post it on social media today.
Okay, cool.
And the memorial inscription reads, in part, "In memory of all the hundreds who died under the cold, hard hand of the Tennessee Children's Home Society, their final resting place unknown, their final peace of blessing."
Wow, that's so sad. That's so terrible. What an awful fucking person.
Yeah, she was a real see you next Tuesday.
And what's crazy is, like, all these pedophiles and all these crazy people that y'all have, like, working for, like, y'all just, no one's getting arrested.
Like, y'all really were like, how can we make this the worst situation possible for kids?
Yeah, wow. That's so terrible. Well, I'm glad that crazy bitch is dead.
Yeah. It does suck that nobody got arrested. And I do hope... I hope that she's in, like, the worst level of hell.
Yeah, right. She deserves it, for sure.
So, I have a couple little facts about, like, missing children. It's kind of dark.
Okay.
But this isn't something that doesn't still happen, you know?
Right, yeah. This is still a relative issue, even today. You know, unfortunately.
Yeah. Over 400,000 kids a year are reported missing to the FBI, National Crime Information Center, in the United States. 400,000? Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot of kids.
1 out of 6 runaway children reported to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children were likely victims of child sex trafficking.
Oh, my God.
That's yeah.
Terrible.
I know. And in 1990... only 62% of children were recovered, missing children.
Wow, only 62%.
By 2011, it had rose to 97%. Okay. And in today, they say it's 99%.
99? And those numbers seem a little fluff to me.
Yeah.
But we do have, like, Amber Alert. I mean, there are, like, things out there, you know.
I definitely social think media, kids are probably sure going missing that are. Oh, for sure. Just even being able to have cell phones in your car and to know what the person's driving.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that definitely changes a lot of things, so.
But I do know, like, you see stats about, like, missing children, and the numbers are a lot higher than 400,000.
Yeah, sometimes you see, like, 800,000, maybe.
Like, it's like, I almost don't even believe that.
I know, those numbers seem so crazy high. That's so awful.
Well, I think that it's probably a good time for a little palate cleanser.
Yeah. Let's do verses.
Yes, verses. So.
Round one. Fight.
Let me shake it up.
Yeah, shake it up.
I'm going to let you pick because I feel like I always pick.
That's not true. All right, I'll pick.
Okay, sorry. Here we go. That was maybe excessive on the jingling.
Yeah. What are you doing right here?
All right.
There's so many left. Which one do I want?
Well, just pick. Use your intuition. Okay.
All right,
you pick one up and then drop it, and now pick this one.
Yeah. I'll second guess myself.
Okay, let's see.
A shadow person versus the mirror legends.
Okay.
Like Bloody Mary or Candyman, for example.
Okay.
A shadow person, which is possibly a ghost, possibly a demon, possibly just a crazy shadow person.
Versus, like, Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
Or what's some other ones? Bloody, like, Mary's Candy definitely Man. The one I know best, yeah.
It's any of the ones Candy. You stand in the mirror and you, like, chant. Maybe Beetlejuice.
Have you ever done anything like that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've never have. I'm chicken.
Really?
Never.
Yeah, I've totally looked in the mirror like that and, like, you know,
oh, Candyman. Oh, gosh. What happened?
I don't know. I never say it.
Follow through?
Okay, so, like, a shadow person is more of, like, a haunting, right? A ghost.
Yeah.
That's what that's... And then, you know, like, the mirror legends, they're more of a curse. You know, more of a...
Yeah, I was thinking, what would you categorize?
I would categorize it more as a curse or, like, a demon that you provoke. Kind of, in that same kind of category.
I guess
I'm going to have to go with mirror legends.
Same.
Because if the mirror legend was in fact real, that's way more terrifying than just the shadowy person. Even though I've had my own experience with shadow person.
You lived through it.
Yeah, you can hear that in episode one. But I ain't had experience with no mirror legends because I always chicken out. I can't do it.
I ain't never even tried. I don't even go into the bathroom in the dark like that.
Yeah. Kristen still has a nightlight.
Because I just don't like it. Like, what if it's real?
Yeah, you gotta, talk in the mirror and then say whatever you have to say and have the light off. Mm. And then turn the light
on. I know with Bloody Mary you have to say it 3 times.
Yeah, that's so scary.
What if something showed up?
Yeah, what if it did?
I would die. Again, I would die. Because I don't want to live that life where that's real.
Yeah. That is by far, I think, the scariest, the mirror legends over a shadow person.
For sure, but man, I can't even imagine seeing either one at this moment.
Yeah, tell us what you think, though.
Also, have you ever been brave enough to go through with the mirror legend?
Oh, yeah, let's hear your mirror legend stories.
Because I bet somebody has a story, or it wouldn't still be a legend.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they keep it alive for a reason, right?
For sure.
So, yeah, send us your story at hauntedhazepodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. It's a little bit dark, you know. Sometimes we got to go there, but this being a hometown kind of, you know.
Yeah, it's our little local true crime.
Yeah, this being a local kind of true crime, we thought it was interesting since we hadn't really ever heard about it.
Yeah, and have you ever heard about it? If you have, do you know somebody?
Yeah, do you know
who
someone
was, like,
maybe
weirdly
was
adopted?
Yeah.
Because be really if you, honestly, it's likely.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, let us know what you think.
All right, also, be sure to check us out on Hippie Hayes on Etsy.
Yes, and also you can find us at Hippie Hayes Studios on Etsy, Facebook, and Instagram.
Yep, and this is going to be one of our last episodes for this year, so I hope everyone has a good holidays and New Year's, and we're planning on doing a Christmas special.
Yes, and that's going to be good. Yeah. Unlike the dark side of Christmas.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the dark side of Christmas.
And then we're going to celebrate this awful year being over.
Yep, and we'll be back in 2021.
Yes.
All right, well, peace out.
Peace out.
Stay haunted.